For weeks now, the government has been leaking and flying kites about the tax increases, spending cuts and new payments for services we'll hear about in tonight's budget. Mercifully, the wait will soon be over. Today, though, before the bitter medicine comes a sweetener. The Abbott government will set up a $20 billion medical research fund in tonight's budget. The coalition says it will be the largest of its kind in the world by 2020 and will double the Commonwealth spending on health research. PM understands the fund and more than $50 billion in infrastructure spending are the two major good news stories in the budget. But any good news will almost certainly be overshadowed by tax increases and cuts. From Canberra, James Glenday reports.
Hundreds of journalists are currently locked in a large room at Parliament House, hearing the details of Joe Hockey's first budget. It will be tough. There will be broken promises. So before the full extent of the doom and gloom is known, the government is trying to spruik some good news. It's setting aside $1.1 billion for a medical research future fund. The fund will be funded by savings and grow over the next 6 years to be capped at $20 billion by about 2020. All dividends will be spent on health research.
There are some tough decisions about health in this budget. There certainly are. But what this budget does include is massive investment in better health for all Australians and for people around the world in the years and the decades to come.
Tony Abbott spent the first question time in nearly 2 months blaming Labor for the current levels of government debt and tonight's deficit. His backbenchers helped him get the message across by lobbing up some questions that were hardly hard-hitting.
How is the government keeping its commitment to get the budget back under control?
I call the Honourable the Prime Minister.
Well, Madam Speaker, I can assure all members of this Parliament that this is a government that will keep its commitments. And the commitments that we endlessly repeated before the election were to stop the boats, to scrap the carbon tax, to build the roads of the 21st century and to bring the budget back under control.
With the Treasurer locked away, it was up to the Deputy PM, Warren Truss, to make the government's case for massive cuts. He fielded this dixer from Liberal MP Angus Taylor.
I remind the Deputy Prime Minister that the bill for interest repayments on the government's debt is around $1 billion a month. What impact does this have on the economy, and how does it compare with the legacy the previous governments inherited?
He draws attention to an appalling statistic that will overhang tonight's budget and indeed our national economy for a decade. And that is the legacy of Labor's debt.
The government's trying to frame the budget as the repair job that had to happen, and senior ministers have been at pains to point out that everyone will share the load. But in what is likely to be a parliamentary tactic repeated for much of this electoral term, Labor focused on the Prime Minister's past promises. Opposition leader Bill Shorten led the charge.
The Prime Minister promised the Australian people on the night before the last election, no cuts to education, no cuts to health, no changes to the pension, no changes to the GST, and no cuts to the ABC or the SBS. Will the Prime Minister repeat that promise now? And if not, how can the Australian people trust anything this Prime Minister has to say? Yeah.
Tony Abbott wouldn't repeat the promise, so Mr Shorten tried again.
Will the Prime Minister repeat his promise now?
And again.
Did the Prime Minister deceive the Australian people in order to win votes at the last election?
Well, the short answer is no, of course we didn't, Madam Speaker. Of course we didn't.
The Coalition has long promised infrastructure spending will be the brightest item in its first budget. It released some details in a YouTube video this afternoon.
The Australian Government's infrastructure investment and growth programs will lead to more than $125 billion of combined public and private construction activity to grow our economy and support jobs. The Australian Government is making a record $50 billion commitment towards this investment.
But Labor claims very little of the money is new. Infrastructure spokesman Anthony Albanese says much of the so-called new money has come from public transport.
My question is to the Prime Minister. Why is a dollar invested from the Commonwealth in roads good, but a dollar invested from the Commonwealth in public transport bad?
What we're seeing in this budget tonight is a record Commonwealth spend on infrastructure, and don't we need it?
Many in the government say today is the most important moment of this parliamentary term. Tony Abbott had one core message and he repeated it continually.
I am very very confident that when the Australian people see the budget tonight, there'll be some things that they like, there'll be other things that they don't like, but they will know that the adults are back in charge, and they will know that they have a government that is capable of rising to the challenges of these times. And on that note, Madam Speaker, I ask that further questions be placed on the House.
And with that, he ended question time. He seemed to be speaking as much to nervous backbenchers as the general public. This morning, he reassured his party room that he faced a similar situation when the Howard government handed down its first budget in 1996. Senior ministers say everyone is now focused on selling the budget, and making tough changes now will put the coalition in a better position to fight future elections.
James Glenday reporting, and James is with me now. James, you got the short straw. You got to stay out of the budget lockup, but I gather you gleaned a bit more information from the Treasurer's office. What did you find?
Yes, we've been told the government expects combined deficits to be about $60 billion over the next 4 years, and that in a decade, debt will be reduced by nearly $300 billion. Now, these numbers are interesting because they seem to have taken us full circle, really. Before the election, an outlook released by Treasury had forecast deficits over the 4 years at $63 billion. Then, in the Coalition's first budget document a few months later, Joe Hockey said the total deficits were about $123 billion. Now, he'd done a few different things, like he gave a special grant to the Reserve Bank and used a couple of new ways of calculating the cost of things like unemployment. But he and other ministers used this much bigger number, $123 billion, to build the case for change and deep cuts. Now, of course, we don't know what the underlying assumptions are in these new numbers yet, but now we've come back to $60 billion, which is, of course, is much closer to what was forecast before the election.
Indeed, for weeks, if not months, we've been hearing about a budget crisis. But if the actual number is half what the government has been saying, surely Labor's going to jump all over that.
Well, yes, I think that's a fair assumption. And how they get there is the $60 billion question. There could be different forecasts for growth in the economy. There could be, obviously, we've been hearing a lot about spending restraint. Labor is almost certainly going to argue that this is proof the government manufactured a budget crisis. The Coalition will probably say that it's presenting much more realistic figures and that Labor's original figures were wildly optimistic, and that the only way a $60 billion deficit over the combined deficits over the 4 years is likely is if it made these deep cuts and tax increases that it's talked about. So we are going to need to wait only an hour more, really, or so, to see all the details before we can accurately say what is what.
James, just very briefly, is the backbench up for the hard sell?
That's an interesting one. I think that they probably are, because they don't have any choice now. The decision's been made, the document's been printed, and they're all going to get on board, I think. Certainly the message today going around Parliament was, we're focused on the task at hand.
James Glenday, thanks very much.